देवासी देवाया, ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय, So today we'll be reading 10th Canto, chapter 78, verses 17 through 20. We'll be speaking about verse 17, so I thought we'll just read through together 18, 19, and 20, and then I'll go back to 17 and we can do that responsibly. Okay, so we can just chant this together. Snatva prabhasthe santapya Devarshi pichamanavam Saraswatim priti shrotam Yaya brahma samvritaha. After bathing at Prabhas and honoring the demigod sages, forefathers, and prominent human beings, he went in the company of brahmanas to the portion of the Saraswati that flows westward into the sea. Prithudakam bindu saras Tritakupam Sudarshanam Vishalam Brahmatirtam Cha Chakram Pachim Saraswatim Yamunamanu Yanyeva Gangamanu Chabharata Jagamanamisham Yatra Vishaya Satramasate. Okay, so we'll go back to 17. Okay. And we'll do this word. Shrutva Yoyodyamam Rama Kurunam Saha Pandavai Tirtabhisheka Vyajena Madhya Sa Payaya Kila Shrutva Yujoyamam Rama Purunam Sahapandavai Tirtabhisheka Vyajena Madhyastha Prayaya Kila Shrutva Yujoyamam Rama Purunam Sahapandavai Tirtha Bhishekya Vyajena Madhyastha Payaya Kila. Shrutva Yujoyamam Rama Purunam Sahapandavai Tirtabhishekya Vyajena Madhyastha Payaya Kila Shrutva Yujoyamam Rama Kurunam Sahapandavai Tirtabhishekya Vyajena Madhyastha Payaya Kila. Lady. Shrutva Yujoyamam Rama Kurunam Sahapandavai Tirtabhishekya Vyajena Madhyastha Payaya Kila. Okay, excuse me. Shrutva Yujoyamam Rama Gunam Sahapandavai Tutabhishekya vyajena Madhyasthapaya yakila Shutpayujoyamam rama Poonam sahapandavai Tutabhishekya vyajena Madhyasthapaya yakila Shutpayujoyamam rama Guru Pandavai Tutabhishekya vyajena Madhyasthapaya yakila Shutpayujoyamam rama Purnam saha pandavai Tutabhishekya vyajena Madhyasthapaya yakila Thank you. Shutva, hearing. Yuda, for battle. Ujjamam, the preparations. Rama, Lord Balaram. Kurunam, of the Kurus. Saha, with. Pandavai, the Pandavas. Tirtha, in holy places. Abhishek, of bathing. Vyajena, on the pretext. Madhyastha, neutral. Payaya, he departed. Kila, indeed. Translation. Lord Balaram then heard that the Kurus were preparing for war with the Pandavas. Being neutral, he departed on the pretext of going to bathe in holy places. I say, you say. Lord Balaram then heard that the Kurus were preparing for war with the Pandavas. Being neutral, he departed on the pretext of going to bathe in holy places. Purport by Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Both Duryodhan and Yudhisthira were dear to Lord Balaram, and so to avoid an awkward situation, he departed. Furthermore, after killing the demon Vidurata, Lord Krishna put aside his weapons, but Lord Balaram still had to kill Ramaharshan and Balvala to finish relieving the earth of her burden of demons. So, Lord Balaram, Prabhupada said, is actually non-different from Krishna. But he takes the service position to Krishna, and Lord Balaram takes the position of being Krishna's friend, of being his brother, of being his shamara, his bed, his house, his umbrella, his clothes, his ornaments and feet. So Lord Balaram has many manifestations that he uses to serve Krishna. Balaram is a very colorful personality. And oftentimes in education, we use what's called a KWL chart, three columns. The first column with the K is like, what do you know about the subject? And the next one, W, well, what do you want to know? And then L, well, what did you learn? So that we could start out with, what do we know about Lord Balaram? Maybe there's some of the students can help me. Anything that you know about Lord Balaram? Yes, what do you know? Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Yes. He's really strong. In fact, the word Balaram means giving strength and giving pleasure to everyone. So that's part of his name. Agopal. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And that's coming up. Suri, were you going to say something? He loves Varuni. That's right. Yes, Gauranga. He's an expansion of Krishna. Okay. Yes, it is. He carries a club and a plow. Sarva. Okay, thank you. Yes. He can get angry easily. Okay. All right, so we know a lot about Balaram, but we'd like to know more about Lord Balaram because he's just so amazing. We love him so much. It's hard to remember a time when Balaram wasn't here on our altar, isn't it? It's like and did you want to say something? Go ahead. He can be a little demanding. Okay. All right, so let's find out a little bit more about Balaram. I thought it would be good to go back into some of the history that led Balaram up to the decision that he made that he was going to depart. He wasn't gonna take part in the war. So what all led up to that? So does anybody like Mahabharat? Okay, so we're just gonna briefly go through just to kind of bring us up to the present time. So there was an assembly and they were talking about the situation with the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And you know, tempers were really rising. There were a lot of problems. When the Pandavas' father died, rightly so, Yudhisthira should have inherited the father's property. It was just Kunti left with her five sons, but there was difficulty. They went over to live in Hastinapur with their uncle, Dhritarashtra, and their cousins, which were the Kurus. But, you know, Pandavas were just so strong and so expert at everything, it caused a lot of enmity between their cousins with the Kauravas. And, you know, there's a lot of, Bhima was so strong, he'd always defeat everybody. So Duryodhan, who started out from his birth with a lot of difficulties, in fact, does anyone know what was happening when Duryodhan was born? There was like special omens. Anybody know about that? There was like, Yes, donkeys are braying. There was inauspicious things raining from the sky. And he was actually advised by the sages to just abandon the child. If he didn't, it would be the end of his race. But due to fatherly affection, Dhritarashtra wasn't able to do that. So anyway, a lot of difficulties, and Duryodhan and the rest of the Kauravas became so envious that they actually started plotting how they could kill the Pandavas. So it started out with Bhima. Duryodhan got a lot of poison. He invited them to come to a great feast, and he put all the poison in Bhima's food. And Bhima sat down this big feast and said, "All right," and he started eating it. And it was enough to kill 10 men, but it didn't seem to affect Bhima at first. But later on in the day, after they got done playing, he did get tired and he laid down and he fell into a deep sleep. And that's when Duryodhan and his friends decided, okay, we'll tie him up and we'll just throw him in the river, which is what they did. And down he fell and he got carried away by the current into a place where there were lots of snakes. And the snakes started to bite Balaram, which, you know, usually you think, what a terrible situation, but actually the snake's bite, the snake's venom, proved to be an antidote for the poison. So it woke Bhima up and there he was all tied up. So he just broke out of it, came up and went back to his house, and he let everybody know what was going on, that there was big, big problems because they were trying to kill them. Also, they built a house made of lac, very flammable stuff, things that would catch on fire very easily. And they invited them to come and stay in the house. And so, I thought, okay, they're being kind of nice. They built this nice house for us. They're going to invite us to come and stay in the house. But then Vidura, he tipped them off like, "No, you better be careful because this house, they're going to try to burn you up. And they're going to, you know, that way they won't have to worry about you anymore." So they, you know, they were able to make their plan. Somebody came and helped them dig a tunnel under the house. So when the time came, they would be able to escape. In fact, they decided to escape earlier. So they were able to, The house burned down. They were able to escape. But this is just some of what's going on with the Kauravas and the Pandavas in creating this enmity. They didn't want to share any of the property with the Pandavas, and they just wanted to keep everything for themselves. So in the assembly, they're talking about this, and Krishna is saying that also there's the whole dice game when Yudhisthira was cheated out of everything he had, including his wife, and anything they had left was taken away. So Krishna's talking to the assembly and saying how this was unfair. This shouldn't have happened. There shouldn't have been this dice game, the cheating, and that they lost everything. And that really they wanted to try and keep peace in the situation. They wanted everything to go according to the codes of religion. So Krishna spoke. Everyone agreed with them. Then it was Balaram's turn to speak. And Balaram was praising Krishna, what he said, but he was saying also, you know, there was some fault as far as Yudhisthira goes. Yudhisthira, he didn't have to play dice with Shakuni. He decided to play, and he lost the game. So it's kind of like he got what he got. You know, he lost everything. But still, the fair thing to do is to divide the land, let Kurus have some of the land, let Pandavas have some of the land, and just let everything be fair. So Satyaki in the audience, great, great warrior, he became outraged. He was furious. His face was red with fear, and he got up and he said, how can anybody here in the audience, how can you stand listening to what Balaram said? You know, how can you handle that? Now, obviously, in this dice game, it was completely unfair. Yudhisthira was cheated from everything. He said the Kauravas should come and prostrate themselves in front of Yudhisthira and asking for his forgiveness. He said, if they don't, and he put his hand on his sword, he said, if they don't, I'm going to... He stood in the middle of the floor. There was a mosaic of a blazing sun. He stood in the middle and he grabbed his sword. He said, if they don't, I'm going to make them do it. I'm going to make them go to death's abode. So this is what's going on. And then Drupada got up. And, well, first, Balaram spoke again. Balaram was looking very beautiful with his white complexion. He had a garland of white lotus flowers on, dark blue silk. He had a brilliant helmet, and he had his plow. And again, he was just imploring everybody to try and make peace. But Drupada got up, and he was a little older, a little more experienced. He said, actually, there is no way that there's going to be peace. Duryodhana will not agree to sharing the land, and his father, Dhritarashtra, is so overcome with affection. He loves his son so much that he isn't going to interfere with this idea. So let's face it, there's going to be war. So Duryodhana, even though he wasn't present, he had his spies around. And so Duryodhana thought, okay, there's going to be war. I'm going to go see Krishna. I'm going to get Krishna on my side. And Arjuna was in the same place. Arjuna thought, yeah, I'm going to go see Krishna. I'm going to get him on my side. So Duryodhana got in his fastest, swiftest horse. Arjuna got his chariot, and off they went. Blum, 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 blum. And they raced there. And when they got there, Duryodhana was a little bit quicker. So he went in, and he stood right by Krishna's head. Krishna was sleeping. Arjuna came in about a minute later, and he was at Krishna's feet, and he was just gazing at Krishna with love and tears in his eyes. So Krishna woke up just a little bit later, and he sat up, and Duryodhana said, my dear Lord Krishna, I got here first, and you know that what the code is, whoever rides first, then you have to help them first. And Krishna said, well, that may be, but when I woke up, I saw Arjuna first. So I'm going to have to, I'll help both of you equally, and I'll tell you what I have to share with you. He goes, I've got a million soldiers, and they all have the same strength as I do. And besides that, I have me, but I've made a vow. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to take any of my weapons. So you can either have all my soldiers, my million soldiers, powerful as me, or you can take me. So he says, Arjuna, because you're the youngest, that's the code. Who's ever the youngest, they get first pick. So guess who Arjuna picked? Who did he pick? He picked Krishna. He goes, my dear Krishna, I'll pick you. And Duryodhana was beside himself. He could hardly conceal. He's like, all right. Arjuna is in so much illusion. He picked Krishna. It's because Krishna's his friend and he loves Krishna. He's not thinking about the whole situation. So he picked Krishna. So he was like so excited. He said, oh my God, yeah, Krishna. He goes, okay, I'm going to go now. So he left and immediately he starts running. He starts galloping blum, 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 to Balaram. In the meantime, Krishna asked Arjuna, Arjuna, why did you pick me? And Arjuna said, because you're the Supreme Person of Godhead. And wherever you are, that's where there's going to be victory. Whenever Krishna's around, there's going to be fame, there's going to be opulence, there's going to be victory. So anyway, Duryodhana goes to Balaram and he explains the situation. I went and I got the whole army behind me. Now all I need is you. And someone might ask, well, why is Balaram so friendly with Duryodhana? But do you know why? That's right. He was his maid teacher. And teachers, as you know, are very fond of their students just because, like, I have many of my students, and I'm so fond of you, you know, because I know what wonderful students you are. So he went to speak with Balaram, and Balaram said, you know what? He said, at the assembly, I tried to speak with Krishna, and I tried to let him understand that, you know, it wasn't all your fault, but Krishna, he said that you should share the land equally, and I know you don't want to do that, so... And Krishna's my Lord, and so I'm just going to have to not participate. I'm just going to go visit the holy places, and I'm not going to participate in the war. He said, so please follow the code of religion in your battle, and just do your best. So at this point, Balaram visits the holy places. So I looked a little bit about what Prabhupada says about visiting holy places, and basically Prabhupada says, for the common man, and the devotee, it's wonderful to visit the holy places, to go to see the temples where the deities are dressed so opulently and can give so much mercy. And but he did also say that pure devotees are not so interested in visiting the holy places. They're more interested in performing their service. In fact, he used the word bewilderment, that sometimes visiting the holy places can be a distraction and a bewilderment. So both things are there. It's nice to visit the holy places, but it can also be distraction if you're leaving your service behind. And that the idea that Balaram went and he, part of going to the holy places also is pacifying the Brahmins. So how could you pacify Brahmins? What would be a way of serving Brahmins or pacifying Brahmins? Anybody have an idea? What do you think? Yeah. Okay, good. That you could invite them to your house, she said, feed them prasadam, right? That you could bathe their feet, maybe you could give them donations, and also you could hear from them. Srila Prabhupada said that if you go to a holy place and you bathe in the river and all of that, but if you don't hear from the sages, you don't hear from the Vaishnavas, you're no better than a what? You know? Okay, 1 second. You're no better than a what? Anybody know? Okay, I hesitate to use this word, but I'm going to go ahead. You're no better than an ass, he's no better than a donkey. Okay, so it's very important. That's very important to visit the holy place to hear from the sages. So all these rules and regulations and etiquette was something that even though Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Person of Godhead, they still follow this Vaishnava etiquette. In Vaishnava etiquette, Prabhupada says, it's the ornament of a devotee. So important to behave properly, to behave respectfully towards your elders. Prabhupada says, like, if someone's your senior, you know, they're older than you, they've been initiated before, you should always show respect. But on the other hand, he said, the senior should always be very respectful to the juniors and give and be ready to give their mercy. So I wanted to talk a little bit about giving mercy. And about the month of Kartik, the month of Damodar, which, you know, a few people have already spoke a lot about, just about the benefits of following Kartik Vrata. You know, Balaam was following a Vrata, and many of us are also interested in making advancement by following a Vrata. So I'm just going to read a couple quotes. The result one obtains by giving 10,000 cows in charity can be obtained by offering only one Tulsi leaf to the Supreme Lord during the month of Kartik. And also, it's better to offer Malati flowers to Lord Krishna in the month of Kartik than to donate gold, cows, or land to worthy recipients. And besides this, the month of Damodar is especially celebrating the love that Krishna, that Lord Damodar has for his devotees, specifically Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda tried to bind Krishna. And everyone, you know, they want Krishna. They try to capture Krishna, but Krishna is not easily caught. Can Krishna be caught by if you perform severe, severe austerities? Can you catch Krishna that way? No, you actually can't. You know, you can't catch Krishna just by austerities and penances. Krishna can only be caught by what? Yes. By pure devotion, by love. So Mother Yashoda had that kind of love. And as devotees, we want to develop that kind of love that Mother Yashoda had for Krishna. We want to develop that kind of love. And the month of Damodar is especially about developing that kind of love. So I was reading a story about Jayapataka Maharaj and how Jayapataka Maharaj, this was a while ago in Guayaquil, Ecuador, they had a big assembly. They had about 300 or 400 devotees there. And they had a class, they had kirtan. And because of the month of Kartik, they put up a big picture of Damodar. And they didn't have any gilas, but they had candles. And so they lined everybody up and they gave everybody a candle. And they weren't sure how it would work because all these other people in Ecuador, almost everybody in Ecuador, they're Catholics. So it's not really part of their religion, but they saw that they were very enthusiastic to offer candles to Damodar. And they each one went and offered a candle with lots of love. And they were all very ecstatic. All the devotees were very, very ecstatic to see them being able to partake in the ceremony, knowing that everything in Kartik is multiplied 1,000 times. In fact, before I gave class today, one of my friends came up and said, Subhira, do you know that when you give class today, it's going to be like giving 1,000 classes? And I was like, oh my goodness. So it's pretty significant that whatever we do, if you decide to chant one extra round, it's like chanting 1,000 extra rounds. Can anybody else think of something they might do during Kartik? Special? Something special you might do to show your love for Krishna? Yes, Gauranga. Chant 16 rounds every day. Multiply. What is a mathematician? I don't think I can do it. I don't know 16 times. Oh, no, yeah. 16,000. It'd be 16,000 rounds. So if you do 16, it's like chanting 16,000 rounds. Also, you know, just serving the devotees. That's always something very special that you can do. Another example of great love was a devotee. It was actually Vidura, and he was so in love with Krishna, and he wanted to offer Krishna something nice. So he got a banana, and he started peeling the banana. But he was so much in love with Krishna, he threw the banana away, and he offered the peel to Krishna. But he offered the peel with so much love and devotion that Krishna, he ate the peel. So that goes to prove again that Krishna's not so interested in the preparation. Like, you know, Betty Crocker, a famous cook, she may make some wonderful preparations for Krishna, or preparations, but Krishna's not interested because it's not made with love and devotion. Another example is Raghunath Das. And Raghunath Das, he was from a very wealthy family. We've talked about him in class recently. And his parents, even when he became renounced, they would send him money regularly. But he didn't want to accept this money he thought that it was somehow, or he was maybe dependent on it, so he didn't want to accept it. So he refused to take it. So he ended up begging at the Shingadwara gate outside the Jagannath temple and just taking the food that people would give him, just donations. But then he found that what he was doing was thinking, oh, I remember this person from yesterday. They gave me something really nice. Maybe they'll give it to me again. And he didn't like that. He didn't like the fact that he was speculating, you know, and just thinking of his own sense gratification. So he thought, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. So what he did then is he went to where the cows ate all the leftover prasadam, and he took the rice that even the cows wouldn't eat, and it was rotting. So he took the rotting rice, and he washed it off, and he ate that. And Lord Chaitanya, but you're relishing this preparation. Why didn't you share it with me? Well, again, this rice, this yagana, this whole thing of love and devotion, well, she certainly wanted to share it with us. So I was thinking about and reading about how, you know, Prabhupada, he was so filled with love and devotion for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that he was always going the extra mile, the extra 100 miles, no matter how old he was, no matter how sick he was always doing what he could to push on the movement. And that if we try to imbibe that same mood, that same attitude during this month of Damodar, that I think it's going to please Prabhupada and Krishna more than anything. Recently, I've been rereading Mukunda Maharaj's book. I don't know how many people have read it. It's called Miracle on Second Avenue. Okay, some of you read it. It's such a wonderful book. And I was remembering the story of when Gurudas and Mother Jamuna, Malati, Shamasundar, Janaki, and Mukunda, they all went to England. And you have to figure, they went to England without hardly anything. They had I think they had $2,000, because you can't get into the country unless you have a certain amount of money. So one couple would go in with the money, and then they'd wire the money back to the other couple, and then they would come. And that's how they got into the country. It was that tight. And they were trying all different ways, you know, to meet people. Shamasundar always had the idea he wanted to meet the Beatles. But on one particular occasion, they heard about the High Commissioner of India, he was going to be entertained Ravi Shankar. So they thought, all right, let's go to that. So Mukunda knew a famous dancer from New York who is a Bharatanatyam dancer, and he thought, well, maybe she got invited. So he called her up, and she said, no, I wasn't invited. She said, don't worry about going there. Don't bother. He said, those are always such boring parties anyway. Don't even think about it. But Mukunda did think about it. He thought it would be important. So even though they weren't invited, they decided they'd just dress up, put on their best clothes, they'd get in their wrecked up car, and they'd go. So that's what they did. The men were wearing kind of fancy Nehru shirts, and the girls had beautiful saris with flowers in their hair. So they drove there, and when they got to the gate, the guard said, yes. And they said, we're here for the party, the India High Commissioner. Said, where's your invitation? So they're looking through their bags for the invitation they don't have, right? And finally, the guard says, just go ahead. You're obviously dressed for the occasion. And Shamasundar started to say, we always dress like that. And he goes, be quiet, you know? So anyway, they kept driving, and they drove up to the house, and the doorman opens up the door and said, yes, what is your name? Who should I say is calling? Mukunda's like, my name. Oh my gosh, what should I say? He wasn't sure what to say, so he said, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The doorman said, follow me. So he brought him in, and there's a big crowd of people around the India High Commissioner and around Ravi Shankar, and the doorman announces, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Ravi Shankar turns around and looks, and he goes, oh, hi. He goes, I know them from New York. They're friends. He goes, come on up. So there they were in a situation they had only dreamed about, you know, schmoozing with these very high society people. They were able to make some very exceptional contacts that led them to, you know, meeting other people. They had another dinner at another time. They sent out invitations to all kinds of people. And on the invitation, it said, guess who's coming to dinner? Named after a movie. And they listed some of the people they were inviting, not even knowing whether these people would come or not. George Harrison was invited. He didn't come, but he sent an invitation saying, I'm so sorry that I can't come, but I hope to meet you in the future. So what they did when all the people came to the dinner, they had Prabhupada record a little talk, a little message. So when everyone came, it was very humble, a very humble home. But Jamun had cooked, so that was really wonderful, you know. And they all sat down, they listened to the message. So just that these devotees were so imbibed with Srila Prabhupada's spirit. In fact, the first time they went on Harinam, they were very nervous, especially the men. They thought, you know, for the women, okay, they got these beautiful saris on, but us, it's like, you know, the dhoti is kind of like wearing a big diaper. They felt very self-conscious about going out like that. But they said, Prabhupada wants us to do it. Okay, so the first place they went, people gathered around. They were nervous. People started gathering around. They were very curious. All of a sudden, they saw the policemen gathering around too. And the policeman came up and said, I'm sorry, you can't. And they were amazed that the policeman said, they were so much politer than American policemen. They said, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to sing here. And the queen said, well, what about chanting? Because no, you can't chant either. I said, okay. And so they went off to another park, and it was raining, but they had umbrellas because apparently it's always raining in England. So they had their umbrellas, and they started chanting. And one man, a very, you know, well-to-do gentleman, he stood there and watched them. So they chanted for a while, and when they left, the man said, what is this all about? And he said, well, it's all based on the Bhagavad Gita. You know the Bhagavad Gita? And the man said, yes. He said, well, you're going to be seeing a lot of us here. So they were so daring, you know, even though they were nervous, even though they weren't always sure of themselves, they took the risk because they were imbibed with Srila Prabhupada's spirit. They were always thinking, what would Prabhupada want us to do? So during this month of Dhammadhar, if we can have that same spirit, what would Prabhupada want us to do? Then we might, you know, we might like put ourselves out just a little more. Maybe we'll go to the Harinam this Saturday in Jacksonville, or the one on Friday, or maybe we'll find a way to distribute prasadam. I know tomorrow Mother Kuti invited me to come with her and distribute prasadam at Lake City. So I'm very excited about serving all these people, each person 1,000 plates of prasadam. Anyway, that's basically what I had to say. I know if anybody has any comments or questions. You're so, so very kind. Thank you. Okay, if nobody has any comments, then we'll just stop here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.